So does this gospel reading sound familiar to you? It should, because it's been pretty much the same one shape, way shape, form, another, same gospel for the last 4 weeks. The bread of life discourse. Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will live forever. We'll have eternal life. So I was wondering why pretty much the same gospel for the last 4 weeks? Why the repetition? Is it because we don't get it? Is it because that we're ignorant? I think it's more like we get it, we know it, but we don't really appreciate it. We don't really appreciate the full meaning behind the importance of the Eucharist. That's why I think the church in her wisdom like has it for 4 weeks in a row. It's a whole discourse, bread of life discourse. And let's put it this way. What if I told you, if you go grocery shopping, like Safeway, we got Safeway across the street, right? What if I told you, you go to Safeway and there's a food item out there where if you buy this and then if you eat it, like, you're not going to die. Like, you're going to live forever. Like, would you buy that? No? Raise your hand if you'd buy that. There's a food item. It's like, oh, you take this, and there's the ingredients and everything scientifically proven true. You eat this, you're going to live forever. I'd want that, right? And in fact, how much would you be willing to pay for that? I'd pay for that more than any organic chicken they have. You know what I mean? Right? Well, we have that. It's across the street from Safeway. It's like right here. It's called the Eucharist. Jesus said, come, whoever eats my blood, my flesh, and drinks my blood will live forever. And in fact, whoever does not eat my flesh and drink my blood will not have life within you. Right? We've been reading it and listening to it 4 weeks in a row. So I think we know it. I think we get it, but we don't appreciate it. Right? And I'm going to apply like the principle of scarcity or supply and demand. Right? So a while ago, British Airways, they advertised flights from New York, JFK, to London, but they're having a lot of problems because nobody was going on that flight for some reason. And they're like, what do? We have this, you know, the flight and the gas, and we got to pay the pilots and flight attendants. We're going to lose money. What are we going to do? You know, so they hired this consultant and to kind of, you know, to help them out. And the consultant gave them advice. So the next month, they advertise that they will be canceling flights from New York, NYC, to London. And there are only limited seats available. Do you know what happened the next month? Or the next day, I'm sorry? Flight sales skyrocketed. And they had to buy more planes to fulfill the demand of the flights. So what if I told you, next Sunday, in the county of Santa Clara, we're only going to offer one mass. Only one mass in the county of Santa Clara. What do you think will happen? That's going to be super packed. And we're going to have more Catholics coming out of the woodworks. Right? Or even St. Lucie, we offer seven masses on the weekends. What if I told you we're only going to have one mass? It'll be a bilingual English-Spanish mass. Noon. What do you think will happen? Like, what's going on? This is the end of the world. What's going on? You know, everybody would want to go to Mass. But I think there's a sense of like, you know, we have 53 churches in the county, in the Diocese of San Jose. So many Masses galore. So it's just like, well, I don't feel like it this week. And there's so many times anyways. I can go anytime, right? So there's a sense of availability, right? But sometimes when there's too much supply, there's no demand, right? As opposed to a priest friend of mine, he's a military chaplain, military chaplain, and he was part of the invasion of Iraq. And he spent a lot of time in the Middle East and Afghanistan. And he was so surprised that a group of, you know, young, you know, men, young adults, right, who he doesn't think that they're very, like, religious or spiritual, right? But over there, you know, there's a lack of everything. And they were really, really dying, like literally dying for the chaplain to come and celebrate Mass for them, right? And when he came, they were like, thank you so much. I mean, I've been stressed out and people are dying all over and just we need some kind of hope. And I'm so thankful that you are here to celebrate the Mass. I was dying. I was hungering, thirsting to receive the body and blood of Christ. You know? Yet at the same time, another priest friend of mine, he's kind of crazy, okay? And I'll tell you why he's crazy, because he's got weird ideas, okay? But I want to share this idea with you. Just kind of sit, you know, in your head, kind of like where what you think. He said, you know, Stephen, I think it's too much for us to demand that the people come to Mass every Sunday. Because people are busy. They got things to do, you know? And it's like, why do we have to demand that people come to Mass every Sunday? You know, you look around, they don't even want to be here. They just come here and they just do their thing and they just sit down. This is my seat. This is my pew. I do my thing. You do your thing, Father. Get me out in 50 minutes. You know? They don't sing. They don't participate. They just sit there like a blog, bump on a blog. And they don't even want to be here. I think we're demanding too much for the people. His suggestion is, why don't we just have Mass once a month? You know? And he prefers quality over quantity. We'll like do it up, you know, because we have a whole month to prepare. You know, we're gonna have the, you know, like the best of everything, and it'll be like on spot on, and they'll be so good, you know, and people will like it, and then they'll come back the next month. They won't get tired of it. What do you think? Oh no. Some of you like this idea. Saturday, 5:15, they're like, no. That's bad. Sunday, 7 a.m., they're like, not a bad idea. What about 6 p.m.? What do you think about this idea? We're putting too much demands on you. Once a week is too much. How about once a month? You don't like it? I know you like it inside. Well, the statistics show the average Catholic in the United States goes to church how many times a month? Twice. Biweekly. Right? That's the average Catholic. Who people in the survey, they say, I consider myself as an active Catholic. Come to Mass twice a week. Right? So if you come every week, like you're above and beyond. You're like, take a break. Go on vacation or something. Right? But I think there's some truth in what my buddy priest was saying. Yeah, we need to improve the quality of the masses, but at the same time, he's got it wrong. Because if you think about it, if you don't eat, what happens? If you don't eat in the course of a week, what happens? Like you get sick, you die, pretty much, of malnutrition, right? What happens if you're not fed with the body and blood of Christ? And I say, I meet it on a weekly basis, right? And it's not that I'm here because it's one of the Ten Commandments. It's not that I'm here because I'm being forced to be here. But it's more like, I need this. It's more like, I need to be here. And this is so important, right? And I think for our homework this week is to kind of reflect on, again, the bread of life discourse. Jesus saying, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me and eats my blood, eats my flesh, drinks my blood, will live forever. And really think about, how can I truly appreciate the meaning of the Eucharist, right? I know this is good. I know this is Mass. I know I'm here. But really appreciate it, right? So think about, do you remember when you received your first communion? It was so long ago. For some of you, it was last year, right? Some of you, it was, I don't know, maybe 50 years ago, right? But When you received your first communion, I'm sure you were like so excited, weren't you? And you're like this, and you're like, oh, this is so cool, and I'm gonna receive Jesus. And you're like, oh, yes, you know? What happened to that? What happened to that excitement? This is my 10,000th communion. Right? Let's bring that, reinvigorate that excitement, that joy of receiving the Eucharist again. A couple weeks ago, I did a wedding, and the wife, they're already married civilly, but the wife went through an annulment, and you know they got married in the church, and I can tell, like, the wedding mass, it meant so much to her, because now she can receive the Eucharist, right? For over 20 years, she was not able to receive the Eucharist because of going through the annulment and all these things, right? And, like, I could tell, like, she was just yearning to receive the Eucharist, right? And then when I gave her the Eucharist, you know, body of Christ, blood of Christ, like, I can tell. Like, she was so touched. And then right after, you could see tears coming down her eyes. Because it meant so much to her. And I think for us, it's very easy for us to just kind of get complacent. You know, too much supply. Mass all over the place, right? I mean, I shouldn't have to cancel Mass so you can appreciate it more. Right? You should appreciate it just for the sake of the Eucharist, right? And even those who come to Mass every Sunday, right? Like participate. You know, like listen to the word, the liturgy of the word, you know? Pay attention to the words in the song and sing and pray together and be active, right? And to kind of reignite our love and for the Eucharist, right? So that's your homework this week. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me and eats my flesh, drinks my blood, will live forever, right? We all know that, but can I appreciate that? Can I truly value that, right? This true sense of the Eucharist.